The Blaze Radio Network. On demand. Breaching the fault lines of today. This is Reform This with Dr. Zudi Jasser on the Blaze Radio Network.
This is Dr. Zudi Jasser. Welcome back to Reform This. We're talking about the holiday earlier this week of Martin Luther King Jr.'s Day of Legacy of Civil Rights. What does it mean to American Muslims? What does it mean to the struggle for freedom and liberty in America or globally? And I think the question you should ask your Muslim friends is one, as I've said before, is based in tough love. Do they practice and preach and demand the same principles of civil liberties in the mosques, in Iran, in Saudi Arabia, in the mosques in America, in Detroit, in New Jersey, in North Carolina, in California, that they demand of the civil rights given to them and protected by the rest of America? Do they amplify the voices of supposed right-wing hate that we hear amplified daily and attributed to sometimes the entire Republican Party by media arms like CNN and MSNBC? Do Muslim leaders focus on that the same or more than they do the real civil rights abuses that affect us? If you ask me any day when I look at the things that are important to me, religion is one of them. My relationship with God is one of them. What I choose or choose not to do within my faith is a significantly high priority, as it is for the vast majority of Americans, that Christian, Jewish, or whatever your faith may be, the ability to pick and choose what we practice in our faith and how we practice it and how we assemble and communicate with the leadership of our faith is an important part of being an American. And yet, American Muslims, if you ask them what is limiting their ability to practice their faith, they blame non-Muslims who are never at their mosques, who might demonstrate here or there, who might have a sign in their window or say some things that might appear to be bigoted occasionally. But on a day-to-day basis, if you ask American Muslim women how they're treated in the mosque every Friday, every weekend, do they have representation on the boards? If you decide to question whether you wear a hijab, how are you treated by the rest of the community in your local faith community? Do they have the influence? Do they have the courage to set up new mosques, to divide more so that ideologically they are freer to be themselves and less stratified between theocrats, Salafists, and liberals? Is there the freedom to do that, or do they feel a suffocation of being a minority so they have to put up with the fundamentalist control of those who obsess and dominate and control the mosque leaderships? Do we have Muslim institutions outside the mosque that represent us, and we don't allow the mosque to become the only representatives of American Muslims, or the simple Islamist alphabet soup of CARE, ISNA, the Islamic Society of North America, Muslim Public Affairs Council, or other Islamist groups that decide to become the representative of Muslims and ignore the plight of Muslims inside the mosque? So the real civil rights battle for Muslims is inside or at the sides, in the margins of our mosques and our Muslim organizations. The laboratory we have here can be translated to the battle on the streets of Iran, on the streets of Syria, where they can't build institutions. So the women in Iran who are marching consent and telling the government, you should care more about what's in my head than around my head, American Muslims are, for the most part, ignoring and actually allowing the hijab to become a political symbol of unification of Muslims against the non-Muslims, where hijab is an identity, where Americans are forced to believe that the Muslim Olympian with the hijab, who was the fencer was more representative of American Muslims than the Muslim track star who did not wear a hijab because it didn't fit their identity politics to identify a Muslim who wasn't wearing her Muslim identity on her forehead, but rather had it in her heart. That's the civil rights battle. It's the civil rights battle about the consciousness of being Muslim, the consciousness of fighting misogyny that exists from the pulpits in the mosques where women often are denied the right to divorce, the right to have their voices heard, the right to push back against predators like the accusations we've seen now against Tariq Ramadan, imams in Dallas, and elsewhere who have huge pulpits that have been attached sort of to the Me Too movement. But I would tell you in the Muslim community, it's very different. We have issues regarding Islamic law and the rights of women who, according to Sharia, often have half the voting rights in a legal proceeding, have a quarter of the inheritance from their family, and so many other things that need reform for true equality. That is the civil rights movement of the day. As you listen to women leaders like Ezra Nomani, like Raheel Raza, like Shireen Quddousi, and so many other women leaders in the reform movement and leadership and writers and thinkers of Muslims in the United States and across the world, they will tell you, they call the enemies of true liberalism, true civil liberties in Islam, they call them the Honor Brigade. And the Honor Brigade is, as Ezra has called them, the theocrats of Qatar, the theocrats of Saudi Arabia, of Al-Azhar, and of the mosques in the United States that love to label and dismiss us Muslims as non-Muslims, as kafir, because we reject the importance of their agenda. That our agenda somehow is limited because we don't have degrees and credibility from their Islamic indoctrination establishment centers. Their establishment is in denial. That is the civil rights battle of today, is their establishment is in denial. We need you to help us lift up against the establishment of the Council on American Islamic Relations and other organizations that are peripheralizing the importance of the real civil rights battle. It is an abomination that Nihad Awad wasted your time in Time magazine lecturing to Americans and to Muslims how to exploit the media rather than using your time fruitfully to talk about how we can use the media platforms to change the agenda from countering violent extremism to the need to counter violent Islamism. Or to talk about the fact that the best nuclear deal to prevent the nuclear armamentation of Iran is regime change. Not a whisper from the care sycophants of Islamists globally, the Wahhabi lobby that will stop at nothing to always be silent and ignore Saudi expansionism and alliances, or even Iranian expansionism in their interviews on Press TV and elsewhere. They ignored the plight of Iranian heroes this week. Contrary to groups like the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies that put out in their Iran project this week a list of just 10 of the thousands of prisoners of conscience and those tortured since the revolution began. I call it a revolution. It's still an uprising, if you will, or a revolt on January 2nd, 2018. They named Sayyid Shahab Abtahi, a 20-year-old whose body was dropped off in front of his house of his father in Iraq in central Iran after more than a week in detention. Arayar is Beheb Abadi. His body was said to be found in Karun River in southwestern Iran after he disappeared during protests. Ali Pouladi died in police station in Khalous, northern Iran, during protests. Kanush Zandi, authorities called his family to inform that they can pick up his body. He's said to have been detained by the Ministry of Intelligence prior. Saru Garamni, 24-year-old, he and Zandi were from Sandaj, Kurdish province, and were found dead. Vahid Haidari, authorities claimed he committed suicide during detention in Iraq. They tried to intimidate his family to not talk to the media. His lawyer was also arrested later. We've seen that story in Saudi Arabia, where cases like Raif Bedoui and then his attorney becomes a prisoner within a few weeks. Reports circling on social media that Mohammad Nasri from Zengen also died under torture. Sina Ganbari, 21 years old, died on his birthday. The government claimed he was an addict and committed suicide in Evin prison. Evin prison is that horrific, torturous prison of prisoners of conscience, tortured for supposedly criticizing Islam. And we know that it's part of the theocrats' hellhole in which they tyrannically destroy dissent. That's the civil rights battle of today, but now we're not covering that. We got the obsession on President Trump. We got the partisan politics. We've got the Muslim Islamists in America blaming America. And no one is talking about the civil rights battle of today, which is in the mosques, in the Islamic organizations, in the Islamic establishment that needs to be marginalized and defeated. Change that. Don't allow the Islamists and their governments and their regimes and the left and the identity left to determine what our agenda is. If your agenda is truly reform, truly modernization is the legacy of Martin Luther King Jr., then join me in lifting up the voices of the oppressed within the Muslim community who are oppressed by other dominant establishment theocrats. This is Udi Jasser on Reform This.
You're listening to Reform This with Dr. Udi Jasser, the Blaze Radio Network.